Well, here and there over the last season, I've been praying and thinking about this summer and where God would want to take us. After a year in the Exodus story and a journey through our rooted discipleship study the previous fall and Philippians and life in the Spirit last summer, it seemed wise, I'll say, fitting for us to slow down this summer and lean into something practical, something doable, something that scratches where we itch in reference to ordinary everyday life with God. And more, I found myself over this last season wanting to spend this summer exploring some rhythms of grace, some essential habits, disciplines, practices that help us walk and live close to God, close enough to make a difference. Disciplines, practices, rhythms that help us draw near and stay near to God in the here and now of our everyday, ordinary lives. And I finally carved out a day back in May before venturing off to Ethiopia with some others to map out what this could look like, what disciplines, practices, rhythms we could lean into and learn. And I'll be honest, by the end of that one day, the whole idea, at least for this summer, just felt very tiring. And what remained for me, what stirred for me, was this simple desire to just enter into one practice together, one rhythm of grace together for the summer, rather than learning about eight. And so this summer, I want to invite you into one practice or rhythm of grace that I have come back to every summer for 20 years now. I'm 41, so virtually half my life, most of my adult life. And specifically, this is something that I have leaned into every time I have gone on holidays or had a holiday. So you know it can't be onerous, in case you're freaking out. Ah, a tiring summer discipline. This is called a holiday discipline for me. Though that be said, it is not something that requires the leisure and spaciousness of holiday. It is an everyday practice for everyday Christians in the midst of everyday life. And as the bulletin has already told you, as well as many people who stood on this platform this morning, it is a simple practice of praying and living in the 23rd Psalm. Not just praying it, but living with it. Allowing the 23rd Psalm to lead us in prayer and in life. Allowing the 23rd Psalm to reorient our vision of our own lives. And in the process, allowing and experiencing the grace, the good news revealed in the 23rd Psalm to renew and restore us as the Psalm promises. And the reason I have come back to this Psalm again and again, more than any other Psalm in my life, is this simple, honest reality that for me, though I am a pastor, I am a shepherd. As a pastor, I am also a sheep. If you were to step into my... Love that shot. If you were to step into my office this morning after the service, you might notice the words of Jesus spoken to Peter in John 21, written on a note above my desk. In the wake of Peter's denial of Jesus, three times, right, on the night that Jesus was arrested. Jesus, after the resurrection, comes to Peter to reinstate him, to call him to be his disciple and apostle. In a series of questions that many of us know, meant to restore Peter's heart and calling and undo his shame about that moment of denial, Jesus speaks three commands to Peter, commands that would define his life. He instructs Peter, "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." From here on out, Peter's life would be that of a shepherd in the community of God. And those words, that calling, shapes me. I wake up to it every day. I feel it. I feel the invitation of it. I feel the responsibility of it. If you were to listen in on one of our elders' meetings, you would often hear us begin with the words of the Apostle Paul to the elders in Ephesus, Acts 20, verse 28. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. Those words, that calling, I live with that. I live with the invitation and the responsibility of it. And yet at the same time, like every other follower of Jesus, I am a sheep. A sheep who needs a shepherd. A sheep who needs to know that he has a shepherd. And so every summer, and especially on holidays, and maybe it's especially then because I feel all the weight of everything, and then I step out and I have this fear of all the things and people and stuff that might not attend to because I'm not there, God pulls me again into this psalm. I run to Psalm 23. Or more specifically, I run to God in Psalm 23 to soak in the renewing and restoring grace that I have a shepherd, that I am not alone in the world, that I am not adrift, that it is not all up to me and on me. I don't have to know everything, be everything, fix everything, do everything, be everywhere. It's not all on my shoulders. I have a shepherd. And we have a shepherd. And he's Jesus. And he is at hand and at work with me and for me and with us and for us in all that life brings, even when I'm on holidays. Psalm 23 is a psalm that I have needed every year of my adult life. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. Truth is, I needed this psalm this week. And not just because I needed to prepare for this morning, but I needed this psalm this week. I needed to run to God in Psalm 23 this week. I need the grace of God revealed in the 23rd Psalm, and I know I'm not alone. I'm convinced we all do. And so we're going to spend the summer in this psalm, walking and praying through it line by line, because we all need it, and we need it more than just one Sunday and then move on to something else. I am convinced we all need a deep and long, slow immersion into what God reveals about our lives with him through this psalm, with the prayer and hope that we would come to live Psalm 23 more and more, that it would become our story, the testimony of our lives. Not just a beloved and familiar poem read at our funeral, but the very testimony of our lives, that it would be written on our tombstone. She lived Psalm 23. He lived Psalm 23. Which is why we have this psalm. Because it's not just David's unique testimony for us to admire and covet from a distance. No, it is a revelation of what God desires for all of us. A revelation of a life with God available and open to all of us in Jesus and because of Jesus. A life of knowing and experiencing God as our all-sufficient shepherd, refuge, sustainer, and restorer through all the seasons of our lives. The dark valleys, places of abundance. So before we go any further, I want us to simply read this psalm together. I'm sure some of us have it memorized. It's one of probably few scriptures that is memorized by people everywhere, far beyond the Christian community. I'm sure some of us have it memorized in different translations, right? We might think we know it from or have memorized it from the NIV, but then we say shall, which means there's a bit of King James in there or whatever. And I hope we'll draw on the beauty of that diversity this summer as we walk through this psalm and pull out how all that nuance actually fills in the story. But this morning, I want us to invite us to read it together from the version that's going to be on the screen. And really, this is, it is mostly the NIV, but then I've also added in some of the other phrases, which means pay attention, don't close your eyes, and just recite off what you've memorized. So let's read it together. We're not in a rush. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes, restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me pause and just ask you, where are you in this psalm? Where is your life right now named in this psalm? Where do you need to know that the Lord is your shepherd? Let me read it again for us with that in mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know if I've ever turned to this psalm and not found myself somewhere in it, named, addressed by it. Sometimes I read a psalm, this happens to me often, and I cannot connect with it for the life of me. I read on because I try to be faithful. But this is a psalm that doesn't take much trying for me. I always find myself somewhere in it. It always finds me, locates me in want, in need of rest, staring down a dark valley, facing enemies. The psalm always locates me. Not that my experience always aligns with what I hear in the psalm, and I suspect some of us feel that right now. Sometimes this psalm names what I ache for, right? Be it contentment, to be freed from insatiable, exhausting wanting, or the ache for rest for a weary mind or heart or body, or the ache to be led in paths of righteousness because I feel so drawn and pulled by unrighteous paths, or simply the ache to know, to hope that God will guide me in a critical moment. But no matter what, I always find myself somewhere in this psalm. I think that's what God intended. The danger for all of us, the danger this psalm confronts, is that wherever we are in this psalm, wherever life has us, wherever life has you, we often end up thinking, feeling, and living as though we are all alone, don't we? That we are where we are, on our own, without a shepherd, adrift, the captain and crew of our own ship. And it's just us. We are the one on whom everything hangs. And that's not just the experience of those who maybe don't have a sibling or a mom or a spouse. That is the danger for all of us, even if someone's sitting beside us on the couch. That we live deep in our soul with a perception, a conviction that we are alone, we are adrift, we have no shepherd, we are the captain and crew of our own ship, the one on whom everything hangs. Do you ever feel that way? Yeah. And whoever didn't say it said it in their heart, didn't you? We all do. We all have at times, maybe often, which, as many of us know by experience, is exhausting. There's a reason in the midst of this psalm, there's a naming of rest, because we all need it. It's an exhausting way to live, and sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes the darkness is too much for us. Sometimes the enemies are too large and too many, or both. Sometimes our thirst is too strong and the path's too confusing. Sometimes life as we know it, on the trail that we're on, seems far more than we can handle. I know these are some of the things that have sent me running to the 23rd Psalm again and again and again. Running to the good news of the 23rd Psalm. The good news that God declares in this psalm. Because for all the ways this psalm locates me and names me, my reality and yours, it also tells us a different story. A different story that we need to hear again and again. A different story about the life we are living. That we are not alone. That we are not adrift. That we have not been left to fend for ourselves. But we have a shepherd. Which means our lives, your life, my life, wherever we are, our lives are lived within the strong, competent, all-sufficient, all-knowing, ever-loving, utterly attentive, always working, shepherding care of God. And not just when things are going well, but all the time, in all things, in a way that can sustain us in and through it all. Because as the psalmist David declares, the Lord is my shepherd. I love how the structure of this psalm affirms this to us, announces this to us. If we're paying attention, we'll notice that God is named only twice in the entirety of this psalm, in the first line and the last. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And then at the very end of verse 6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But in between, at every turn, Psalm 23 invites us to see and know and trust and expect God, our shepherd. Note, not God our fixer, but God our shepherd to be at hand and at work. Not rescuing us from dark valleys, but leading us, providing for us, guiding us, protecting us, and sustaining us in and through them. The reality of God's active presence frames not only this psalm, but it frames our lives as the people of God. We are hemmed in. You are hemmed in at every turn by the Lord who is your shepherd. Which, as we'll see in our study this summer, is no distant or passive role that God plays, but it is the most intimate, active thing. I love how Eugene Peterson, lifelong pastor and translator of The Message, explains it. He says, Psalm 23 is a convincing witness that God is our shepherd, that God is the shepherd who preserves us, accompanies us, and rules us. He doesn't just create us and turn us loose to make the best we can of it. He doesn't just let us fend for ourselves until we die and are hauled before the judgment seat for an accounting of our conduct. No, he is the shepherd who guides us in our wanderings and sustains us in our fugitive lives. In want and in abundance, in trial and in blessing, in humble discernment and foolish mistakes, in the face of enemies and in unexpected homecomings. He is the shepherd who guides us in our wanderings and sustains us in our fugitive lives. Does anyone need to know that today? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Years ago, I heard Keith Price. Some of us would remember great Bible preacher Keith Price. He'd preach like this. I don't know if he had notes in his Bible, but man, that guy stuck to his notes. But he would just take a verse like this, five words, and he would walk through every single word. I'm not going to fully Keith Price it, but I'll take three. Or two. I've already done one. The Lord. Notice the Lord here is in all caps, right? Boom. All caps. That's a Bible translator way of telling us this is not just some God, right? This is not just some generic God. This is not God in the abstract. This is not some cosmic power, the God we hope is there. This is the God who has revealed himself. David's shepherd is none other than Yahweh. That's what that word, that way of writing word Lord is supposed to tell us. That in the Hebrew, this is not Adonai, generic Lord, God, Elohim. This is Yahweh, the God who has revealed himself to us, the covenant-keeping, rescuing God of the Exodus. Yahweh is David's shepherd, the God who made the world and loves all that he has made. The God who hears the cry of the suffering and the oppressed. Do you remember this, right? We've just lived in Exodus. If you don't remember this, where were you? The God who makes promises and keeps them, delivers on them. The God who acts in compassion to save, to rescue his people, not because they deserve it, but because he is compassionate and gracious. This God is David's shepherd, the Lord, Yahweh, the rescuing God of Exodus, which after our journey this past year in Exodus makes my heart cheer, honestly, because of all we've seen and learned about this God. Honestly, coming through to the end of Exodus, but in the middle and almost at the start, the more I dug into that book, the more I found myself saying, oh, thank you, God, that you are who you are, that you have come for us. Because there is no one we need more than you. There is no better news than you. A month ago, we concluded our study in Exodus with this hope that the God of Exodus isn't done in Exodus 40. That the God of Exodus isn't done with you and with me. He is still writing his rescuing, redeeming work in our lives. And here, centuries later, we find the psalmist, King David, celebrating that Yahweh, the rescuing God of the Exodus, is the God who's shepherding him. Which matters, doesn't it? It matters to know who is our shepherd. Because someone who maybe reads this psalm or hears this psalm or looks around the life they're in might wonder if the God of Psalm 23 is worth wanting, worth trusting, wondering why anyone would want the Lord to be their shepherd. I'm sure we all have friends, neighbors, siblings, family members, coworkers who wonder why we'd ever want the Lord to be our shepherd. Maybe some of us feel this way. But this name alone, this word Lord, all caps, Yahweh, tells us a story, the Exodus, that gives us so many reasons to want the Lord to be our shepherd, the one we look to lead and guide us day after day, to provide for us and protect us, to sustain us and bring us home, because he is the God who saves. He is the God whose way leads to life. He is the God who has revealed himself to us above all in Jesus. He is the God, the shepherd, who has laid down his life for his sheep. Why would we not come running to be the sheep of this shepherd? As this psalm will attest, this is a God worth wanting. A God worth trusting. Which brings us to the final word in this opening declaration that deserves our attention, and it's a simple word, my. The Lord is my shepherd. There are two things worth noting here, maybe more, but I'm going to name two. One is a cultural matter, one is a gospel matter. So first, the cultural matter, and I don't think I can say this any better by trying to paraphrase it, so I'm just going to read what Kenneth Bailey has taught me. Kenneth Bailey has spent his life living in the Middle East, studying in the Middle East as a lecturer of Middle Eastern biblical studies, a wise student of Middle Eastern ancient culture and scripture. He says, no sheep is ever taken out to pasture alone. The cost of the labor involved would be prohibitive. A flock is thereby always assumed. But in this famous psalm, the focus is on the individual. Note that. No sheep is ever taken out to pasture alone. A flock is always assumed, but in this famous psalm, the focus is on the individual. He goes on. In the highly individualized Western world where we live, the importance of community is too easily forgotten when matters of faith are under discussion. In the East, the sense of community is so strong that the importance of the individual within that community can be neglected, which highlights the significance of David's my. All that to say, heard in its context, this simple my needs to be taken to heart because it says so much. And if you're not there with me yet, let me just say it. Yahweh, God of the universe, right? Of all things, of all time, of all people, of all places, who knows what's happening in Sudan right now and what's happening in South America right now, who is engaged in the world. He created the universe and loves all that he has made. And so his concerns must, if he is God, his concerns must involve far more than any one of us and the particularities of our individual Monday, of our individual hearts and lives. And yet, this simple my invites us, you and me, to accept and embrace the mystery of grace, that although God's concerns must entail far more than us, they entail nothing less than us, than you, than me. David's claim here is a startling revelation of God's personal and intimate interest and attention to every one of our lives, which includes yours and mine, down to the last hair on our head, as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. And so David, the psalmist, declares with thanksgiving and joy, the Lord, Yahweh is my shepherd. My shepherd. Which leads us to the second and final word about this word, my. And it's the word of the gospel. The matter of how God, the Lord Yahweh, becomes our shepherd and we his sheep. Because none of this psalm matters today or ever unless the Lord is our shepherd and we his sheep, right? Sadly, there are many people who know this psalm so well. It has been recited alongside more gravesides than probably any other text. Many would have this as a plaque on their wall somewhere, a magnet on their fridge, a pillow on their couch, but who know nothing of its reality in their lives. Maybe this is some of us today. Maybe we're here for the first time and this is new and this is distant. It's a familiar psalm, but it's not a familiar reality. Maybe we've been in this room for years and this is a familiar psalm, but it's not a familiar reality. Maybe this is you today. And as we've talked today about the grace of knowing the Lord as our shepherd, you know this is not your story. No one commands your ship but you. No one cares for your life but you. Your ears are not tuned to his voice. Your feet don't follow his call. Yes, you know this psalm, but you haven't experienced it firsthand. And if that's you, could it be that you are here today because the God of Psalm 23, the Lord, Yahweh, the rescuing God, who has revealed himself in Jesus, wants to rescue you, to find you wherever you are and lead you into the grace of life in his rule and care. Which will mean giving up your rule. But isn't that the point? Isn't that what God is after? To rescue us from insufficient lords and shepherds, one being us, and to lead us into the grace of being sheep of a good shepherd. If that's you, hear the words of Jesus today spoken to all of us in John chapter 10, 9 to 11. Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." This is what Jesus has done for all of us, for me, for you. To forgive the sin of our prideful and foolish attempt at self-rule, of being our own shepherd, and to make a way for us to be restored to life in his fold, in his rule, in his care. To be people who can say from experience, "The Lord is my shepherd." And out of that, experience a life in his care. Friends, wherever you find yourself in this psalm today, this is the gospel. That in the grace of God, this invitation to experience the life described in the 23rd Psalm is open to every single one of us, no matter where we are or what's gone on. This is the God of Psalm 23, a shepherd who comes running to rescue lost sheep. But the invitation of David's "my" isn't just for the previously unconverted few in the room today. Like many of you, I have known and followed Jesus for many years now. And yet every time I come back to this psalm, I find myself startled and humbled by how easily and how often I have drifted from seeing and trusting and expecting God to be my shepherd. How easily and how often I have drifted from seeing and knowing and living in the grace and confidence that the Lord is my shepherd, that my life is in his attentive and active care, and that's all I need, as the psalm says. How often do I shift, and I wonder if you're like me, I suspect you are, to a mantra that says, "I just need to. If I could just..." With a vision that if that could happen, okay, then I'm good. If I could just get out of this dark valley, if I could just, man, that's me so often. If anything, my propensity to anxiety is a regular indicator that this has slipped from my vision, that I have become so focused on figuring out where next to find water or how to get out of my dark valley, while all the while my shepherd has been faithfully at hand and at work, knowing exactly where I am and where I need to be and how to get me there. But my eyes haven't been on him. They've just been on my dark valley, my quandary, my need, my thirst. It makes me think of a story that my grandfather, who was also a pastor, once told when preaching his own series on the 23rd Psalm. He told the story, and I listened to a tape of my grandfather preaching this week. It was pretty sweet. You can borrow it if you have a cassette player, you could borrow it. It's pretty old school, but still, it's great. Gospel doesn't change. He told the story of a little girl who was asked one day in Sunday school to stand and recite the 23rd Psalm to the class. She stood up, excited, nervous, and blurted out, "The Lord is my shepherd, it's all I want." She sat down. "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." Man, she missed a lot of verses there. But she distilled the heart of it all. Because having the Lord as our shepherd is the heart of it all. The fountain of all the rest. And yet so easily we just end up trying to get out of our dark valley, don't we? oblivious to the one who is with us, who loves us, who knows all, who holds the universe in his hands, and who wants to walk us forward, to bring us home. I think we need this psalm for a season, hopefully in a way that takes us into it for a life, that we might learn to live our lives in the grace and confidence that the Lord is our shepherd, wherever we are, whatever's coming. So who's your shepherd today? Who, to whom are you looking today to lead and guide you, to protect and provide for you, to sustain you and bring you home? Whose voice are you listening for to follow? And will you trust and follow his voice? Let's pray. Take a moment here in stillness and allow you to speak to God your response, and then I'll lead us. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, living God, thank you once again for the grace that you are a God that speaks, that you speak into the chaos of our lives or the noise of our lives, and you speak your revelation in grace, in love, that today we might find ourselves pulled again into the grace of being yours, living with you and in you and under you. Through Christ. Oh Lord God, we confess as we embark into a summer in the 23rd Psalm that this is naming us. We lose sight of you so much, God, and we find ourselves weary and exhausted in it. We end up on different paths, wondering how we got there, when in love all the while you have been here with us, seeking in love to care for us and lead us, to provide for us, to be all we need. So Jesus, in your mercy and grace, would you take our hand through this psalm again today? Not just in the coming Sundays, but day after day, would you take our hand through this psalm and lead us into your life? Wake us up, God. Grow in us again, or maybe like never before, faith and hope and confidence that you are our shepherd. That's all we need. We thank you for what you have done to make this possible, to the giving of your life on the cross, Jesus, Father, living God, that you would take our rebellion, our foolish attempt to be our own shepherd, and you would take it upon yourself, the consequence of our rebellion. You would die on the cross for us, that we might be restored to you by your grace. Not our good effort, not our great reform, not our fresh resolve, but your mercy and grace. Oh Jesus, we run to you today. Amen.